This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Allie and I live in Southern California. I'm a huge fan of OTI. Their joyful outlook on sobriety is what finally inspired me to quit drinking. I've been a member since day one and I'm rapidly approaching 365 days alcohol-free, which is unreal. I love that Ben and Shaz are not just the podcast hosts. They also openly engage with members during the multiple weekly Zoom meetings and interact on the community member forum. You will not find a more supportive group of people. There's nothing like this in the United States. I'm beyond grateful to be a part of the Sober Rebellion.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's absolutely fantastic to have you listening. Here we are once again with a brilliant episode lined up for you today. Maybe you are finding us though for the first time. Maybe you are in early sobriety, possibly in the first few weeks of your alcohol-free journey. If you're listening to this, you might well have actually just completed, or on the verge of completing, if I get my dates right, Dry January. Of course, Dry January being the campaign that comes around every single year by Alcohol Change UK. If this is you, big up your bad self. Stick with it. Maybe just do another month. And maybe another month after that and go for 100 days. But anyway, enough about that. It's really great to have you listening. Thank you so much. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in England, in Lancashire. I'm a northern lass. Oh, hang on a minute. Sorry, just bear with me. Sorry.
It didn't take you long, did it?
It didn't take me long. Have I mentioned it?
I've written an intro here where I wasn't going to talk about me. Hello, I'm Ben, by the way, 34, live in Liverpool. I was going to say, what do you need to know about Sharon Hartley? That she's northern, she's inspirational, and she's modest, because she hasn't mentioned that she's been in a national newspaper, The Guardian, this week, Sharon. But I've got to cross that out now, because it took you less than a minute to pick up the copy of the newspaper that you're in.
I couldn't help myself. I'm too excited, Ben. When we come on, we're really excited by this.
We are excited. We are.
National news. But anyway, we won't talk about that.
You can't leave it
now.
There. Come on.
Should we talk about this now,
you've
right?
Got okay.
Hayley won't mind. Hayley, just hang fire just a sec. Just a sec. So the Guardian newspaper have done an article, and on the front page it says, "The middle-aged drinkers who love being sober." Flick through to the middle of the paper, and there is a full two-page spread with myself. There's Andy Garwood that's been on the pod. There's Kate Beavis. There's all sorts going on. We are very, very, very proud. Over the Influence is in The Guardian. Flipping yes.
I've got my copy here, Sharon.
Look at that.
I mean, my God, they've got a bloody big photo of you in there, haven't
they? Have you seen it?
Blimey.
Have you seen the size of that?
You're not going to miss that, are you?
You're not.
It's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. The headline is, "I have fallen in love with being sober. The longer I went, the easier it got. The more positive changes came into my life." Says Sharon Hartley. That's you.
That
in the news.
That could have been me saying that. That was uncanny.
I think it's well done, Shaz. It's bloody brilliant, that. Because I know that, you know, we sing about the joys of sobriety on the podcast every week. But you're a radio broadcaster by trade. I'm a radio producer by trade. This is our kind of safe place. I know you were a bit nervous about this coming out in print, weren't you?
I was. Really nervous. And I don't know why, because we bleat on this podcast week in, week out. There are literally hundreds of hours of us singing about sobriety. But to have it in print and then to see it, you know, on Tinterweb and all that jazz, I was quite nervous. But you know what? I'm feeling really, really proud. And it is, not that I needed it, but it's really reignited the fire in my belly even more to keep wanging on about sobriety. I need to stop now, Ben, because believe it, we've got a guest that we need to talk to. It's not all about me, this podcast, you know.
Go on then, let's do the big intro.
Let's do the big intro. The Guardian, it was out on the 24th of January.
Okay, we've done that bit.
Sorry, I'm really excited. Right, enough. This podcast is all about the guests. Now, last week on the main pod, we had a guest from Canada. We are still in Canada today, which is really, really exciting. And I'm also really excited about this today because we're delighted to welcome Hayley Schurders to Over the Influence. Your business has got the best name. Hayley, what is it?
My business name is Living Over the Influence, which is why I had to reach out to you, obviously.
And say no more. End of episode. Beautiful name. Fantastic.
We're done.
Hayley, it's fantastic to have you with us. Thank you so much. And thank you for tolerating that ridiculously self-indulgent and very, very long intro. But we're very, very proud. Enough about us. Tell us about you, Hayley. Where are you in the world and what do you do?
I am from Ontario, Canada, a small town. Nobody's going to know it, so I'll just keep going. I launched Living Over the Influence in 2020 to help other people find freedom from alcohol or other habits that are negatively impacting their lives, because like you just said, putting out the print was like terrifying and exciting. For me, putting my voice out there is also terrifying and exciting, but I want to help people believe in their capacity to change. So it became my passion and purpose when I found sobriety, because it's the best thing I've ever done. And it's a gift that I want other people to get to experience.
Oh, we've got so much to talk about. It is, isn't it?
It's a lot.
It is a gift, and it's like an untold secret. And until you stumble across it, you just don't know, do you? So, first question, Hayley, what brought you to sobriety? Tell us about you in your drinking days, and feel free to share as much or as little as you're comfortable with.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's so much of it that honestly, I carried a lot of shame in the beginning, and it was very dark. I felt very, very lost. And I realized the farther that I go along, the more comfortable I become sharing things, the more I'm actually hearing people respond to it, because they have those exact same fears and those exact same feelings of shame. So, I mean, I was a binge drinker for sure. And it's interesting looking back, because I can see everything so differently now. And even years of sobriety, I see things differently the farther that I go along, and I become more accountable of my contributions to the toxic situations that I found myself in. But I was a binge drinker, turned daily binge drinker as things kind of went downhill in my life. It became a coping mechanism, and at the time I wasn't even aware of that. My mom suffered from alcohol use disorder, alcoholism, whatever term people feel comfortable with, my entire life growing up. And I always said that famous line of "that will never be me." And she drank white wine. So the fact that I wasn't drinking white wine, I was like, loophole, I've got it figured out. In fact, I did not at all have it figured out. So, I mean, it ended up going horribly wrong. I was in an unhealthy relationship. My mom's health was failing. She developed two different types of cancer in her breasts, an aggressive form of cancer in her tongue, early onset dementia, largely alcohol contributed to that, of course. And I didn't realize at the time that I was drinking, and I also was using cocaine as a way to not face anything that I was experiencing. So that essentially, I mean, cocaine and alcohol, it was gasoline on a fire that my trains came off the track in a heavy, heavy, large way. I ended up rolling my vehicle. I had 3 brain bleeds and a grade 3 concussion. And my recovery was deemed miraculous. I don't even really remember all of the exact details at the time, because my memory of that time was obviously largely blacked out. So my whole passion with helping people find freedom comes from, if you've experienced a rock bottom, I am so passionate in people knowing that it's a lesson and not a life sentence. But also I'm obsessed with these podcasts and all of the information coming to light, because I want people to understand that they can speak out before they reach that rock bottom. And there's so much support within these communities. And I remember people saying to me, like, they could tell that something was wrong. I lost a dramatic amount of weight, and people would say, "You look so skinny." And I'd be like, "Oh, but too skinny or no, it's good." And in my head, I was like, "Oh, that's okay." And in their minds, they were saying, like, Haley, you look sick. And that someone said to me, you don't have to do it alone. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I would just brush it off. Support was there. I was just too scared to reach out for it. So I wound up after that brain injury. And I don't recall the direct timeline. I ended up drinking again, which I understand from the outside looking in, you would be like, why? Or, you know, logically, like, Haley, what are you doing? But the pull for me at that time was so strong. And that's the part of addiction that is scary. Like, you can see it plain as day from the outside looking in. And there is, the logical brain would say, no, no, no. But to me, that was my option. That was my escape. I remember laying in a room while I was recovering from the brain injury and looking at the pills that I had to help with the pain and considering, like, I couldn't fathom struggling for the rest of my life or feeling like this for the rest of my life and waking up every day. But I pushed through, which I'm forever, forever grateful for, because I love sobriety and life and I'm happier than I've ever been. But when I drank afterwards, after the brain injury, and I don't know the actual science on it, but it was as if I felt what the end of addiction would feel like, that absolute lack of control, desire for alcohol. It consumed my mind to a very scary degree. And then I woke up one morning in December, hungover, full of guilt, and I called a detox center because someone who I used to party with had actually gone there. And I just put my hands up and I was like, I know I need to make a change. It's got to be a big one. I got to do something. All I need is to separate myself from alcohol. It can't be accessible. And that will be my change. And terrifying as it might be, it was the best decision I've ever made. And it was like a switch went off inside of me. And I don't even know how to explain it. I shifted from, I'm drinking because of my mom, I'm drinking because of my unhealthy relationship. It was stop focusing on what's out of your control, stop focusing on external factors, go internal and realize that you can do this. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. Your control comes from within and you have the ability to respond differently. And it just completely, completely changed my life.
Where do we start with that? Hey, there's so much to, wow, to talk about there. I mean, just to pick up on that last thing that you said, that's knowledge that's been in human existence for thousands of years. You know, the Stoics talk about that all the time. I'm thinking Marcus Aurelius, Epictetus. We don't know how to say his name, so we call him Big E on this podcast. But they talked about exactly that. It's that kind of, you know, don't worry about the things that are outside of your circle of control.
Yeah.
You know, the knowledge has been there for centuries, millennia. But then actually, when you discover it, it is like a light switch, isn't it? It's a complete, it can be as quick as that. It can be a mindset change can happen in a split second. And I think that's amazing. I think actually I'd like to take you right back to childhood and ask,
yep,
what's the term that you prefer to use around alcoholism? Is it alcohol use disorder? What's the term that you use?
I prefer alcohol use disorder only because I know with the term alcoholic, there's so much stigma. And to me, it's you're one or the other. And I don't believe that's true because there's gray area drinking. There's a spectrum. There's a time at which you can stop. Absolutely. Before that. So alcohol use disorder. Yeah.
Okay. When did you become aware that alcohol use disorder, this was something that was there in your family? Like, at what kind of age did you become aware of that?
In public school. So I would say I would have honestly probably 10 or 12, but I didn't understand it. I remember seeing an AA number, but it said the words Alcoholics Anonymous because otherwise I wouldn't have understood. I remember seeing that written down on a piece of paper in my kitchen. And I knew that something was wrong. I'm a very sensitive person and I could always feel that something was wrong. I always had a heavy amount of compassion for my mom, but I definitely didn't understand it. And I thought it was a choice and I wanted her to choose differently. So that obviously was a pull and very difficult. But I remember seeing the Alcoholics Anonymous number and getting that little twinge of hope and thinking, okay, she recognizes that something's going on. I am right that something's going on. But I didn't realize at the time, I'm from a small town. So obviously she was from a small town. That's terrifying to think of going to a meeting and I'm going to know the person down there. And I didn't know anything about AA at the time, but I don't, to my knowledge, she never went. But I think the fear and the stigma kept her from being able to do that or being comfortable doing that.
Was it something that was talked about, you know, in terms of when you got a little bit older? Was it something that you started to understand because it was a discussion, or is it something that you kind of observed?
Something I observed. And I mean, we would discuss it with my mom and ask her, like, I mean, the conversations varied from a supportive stance of what can we do to help you? What will it take to change? Which then switched to, you won't be around for my wedding. You won't be around if I have kids. I won't be able to trust you with my kids. And now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I had said. And I did carry some guilt. I've worked on self-forgiveness with that because obviously I can't have that conversation. But it's all about shifting those conversations from, you won't be able to do these things, to how can I support you because I really want you to be a part of your grandchildren's life. I would love for you to be at my wedding, but I don't think you will be. And coming from a different supportive space, I guess. But it was talked about. And I mean, my family members would all say, you guys have to be careful, to all of the kids. You have to be careful. It runs in your family because it's on both sides of my family. So it was acknowledged, but more of just a, you have to be careful.
Yeah. It's just, I'm thinking back to our episode last week with Madeline, and she, Madeline. I don't know why I said it like that. But she was talking to us about how she grew up in Toronto, and both of her parents identified as alcoholic. Her mom stopped drinking when her mom was about 21. So, you know, early in her 20s. Her dad relapsed when she was 8 or 9 years old, I think she said last week on the podcast. And it was an active kind of conversation within the family. The more time that we do this podcast, the more we're learning every single week, me and Shaz, but also the more it kind of gives us things to think about in terms of what do we want Over the Influence to actually do, and what do we want Over the Influence to achieve. And one of the big things for us is normalizing sobriety, you know, in terms of if someone decides to remove alcohol, rather than, are you okay? Is this something you're not telling me? Are you an alcoholic? Question. Or, you know, rather than that, it's a pat on the back. Amazing. Good for you. God, you're making a positive lifestyle choice. Brilliant. That's one of the things we want to do. And the other thing that keeps shining through, especially recent episodes, Shaz, is the need for more education around alcohol. I'm just thinking of you being at home, seeing that number. What Madeline said was that she's never picked up a cigarette in her life, you know, and that was because at school she was taught about the dangers of smoking, and she's never smoked. But I'm just thinking, for you being that child in that situation, wouldn't it be like you were confused? You know, you saw this thing, you didn't quite know what to do. It feels like across in every culture, we need to educate people more about alcohol, not just in terms of the effect that it can have on them, but also if you've got somebody in your life who is an alcoholic and identifies as an alcoholic, how should you behave? How should you act? I haven't really got a question here. I'm just talking.
I'm just going to jump in, actually, because talking about the education side of things, it's almost... When you start out on this journey, it's like a natural thing to do. You start reading, one, because you can, because if you're anything like me, you'd either not read a book or start reading a book and fall asleep with it, drop it on your face. And you're like, right, what am I going to do because I'm not drinking? Okay, I'm going to start reading books about alcohol. And then you're going to listen to the podcasts. And then you're maybe going to watch a few lives on socials and things like that. That's what we do as adults. One thing that popped up at work last week, Ben, and I found this so interesting, I'm not actually doing it on my show. It's a roadshow that's going around schools in Lancashire, and it's like a theatre group, I think, that brings in like a play or something like that, and it's to educate teenagers. So my youngest is going to be one of the audience about the dangers of alcohol, about drinking.
Amazing.
And
amazing.
I saw it and I thought, oh, this is so good. This is what we need, because for children of drinkers, and you've been through this yourself, Hayley, it can be really frightening. Connie, it can be such a frightening time.
Yeah, it's so interesting what you're saying, because that's the whole, I want to be able to bridge the gap in the conversation between children who are growing up and not understanding that their parent, it's such a debated conversation, right? It's a choice, it's a disease, and all of these different things. But I know for me, when I was at my worst or out of control, logic was saying like, stop, stop, stop. But there was nothing that was going to make me stop because my brain was on one path. So yes, like you said, better education surrounding what's going on with this person and with the struggle may help kids understand that they're not choosing alcohol over the love, like the love they have for their child. And just, I don't know, not, yeah, destigmatizing the conversation, making it more comfortable to talk about, and yeah, creating understanding.
Hayley, you said that you carried a lot of shame around your drinking. What do you mean by that exactly? Was it kind of the situations that you were in? Was it the kind of inner feeling of, I don't want to do this? Where did the shame come from for you?
Okay. Well, I always would have that 3 a.m. anxiety of, oh, what did I say? What did I do? And I don't even think I realized at the time that I was always overdoing it all the time. And then, I mean, later, or maybe in my 20s, I got that Jekyll and Hyde persona when I would drink because my insecurities would come to the surface. That's the way I view it, was that because it would be people that I loved and cared about, they would still be in my line of fire because anything that I admired or appreciated about someone made me feel insecure because I was doing something that I knew I shouldn't be doing. So drinking Hayley would try and come knock you down to make myself feel, which didn't make me feel better, but drinking, logically, that's how I thought of it. So the shame came from not feeling capable of stopping, from letting it get so bad, from knowing that my mom struggled with it. How did I let this happen? From embarrassing my family by losing my license. My dad is the most supportive and like literally most incredible man in the world. I know we all might say that, but he, oh my gosh, I'm so fortunate. And then a part of that made me feel shame. I have this supportive family. I have my siblings want me, they want to support me. Nobody knows how. So how did I let it get this bad? That was a lot of shame.
I want to ask you as well.
Yes.
Talking about the shame and the stigma and everything that goes with the labels of alcoholism or wherever you might be or identify on the scale. This is one of the reasons that Over the Influence exists, because we flipping hate it. So people struggle. And they struggle for a reason, and they struggle because of the instant label, and you're the one with a problem, and you're weak, and you're a failure because you can't control your addiction to this incredibly addictive substance. And so it goes round and round and round. What really pains me is when we hear from people like yourself, other guests we've had on the podcast that have experienced alcohol causing problems in their lives already, be it from other family members, be it from parents. But years ago, the shame and the stigma, it's even worse because podcasts like this didn't exist, communities like ours didn't exist, help like yours didn't exist. And it makes me feel painfully sad knowing that your mum probably really, really struggled. And you struggled also, but you've been able to pull yourself out of the other side of it. It's just like this cycle of shit, excuse my language.
No, that's okay. That language is necessary sometimes.
And I don't have a question. It's just
it's a statement.
We need to stop saying that, Shaz, because that is technically our job, is to ask the questions.
It is.
You know what? The reason I asked about shame, Hayley, is because I think that's one of the main things that stops people from starting sobriety.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and it's
that vicious loop. And you said in your intro, you know, you talked about shame, but then also about vulnerability and it being a strength. How did you start to get over that shame then? Is that too deep a question? Is that too...
No. No, because my reaction, no, because I'm like, it's almost hard to, a lot of self-forgiveness, but it's hard to go back to in a way, because it was this honestly like awakening and upheaval of self. And honestly, for me, one of my biggest things was I realized I was so filled by external validation in my early 20s. It was shifted. And then when I wasn't getting that, I was in an unhealthy relationship, I lost my sense of self. I completely lost my version of self-love. So even when I got sober, I was like, yes, this is awesome. Oh my God, who the F am I? So for me, it was about, I read self-help books, which I like to call mindset books, but I had to literally rebuild my version of self-love, my identity of who I was, accept, forgive, and embrace that other version, because without that version, there wouldn't be me. But to release the shame, I had to fall back in love with myself and learn how to love myself again to kind of create a new outcome and create different opportunities. So a lot of forgiveness and a lot of rebuilding from the base, from the very foundation of my being.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, that, isn't it? You know, it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of, as you said, a lot of soul searching.
100%. And it still is, but that's what I love about it. Like, it's this ever expanding journey of self-discovery, and all parts of that is a gift. Is it hard? Yes. But, and even working with clients, that's what I notice, is a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of their self-worth, because personally speaking, my thought is when we struggle with alcohol, we feel like that's our identity. And then we forget about all the other amazing qualities about ourselves, or all of the potential that we have, because we have this one friggin' thing and it's so stigmatized. And why can't I be normal? Even though drinking alcohol isn't normal. Realistically, that's why we get hungover, because your body wants it out of your system. But it's all about like rediscovering self. So it's this ongoing process.
We're just going to take, I normally say a quick break. We're just going to take a break from this chat with Hayley. And she's lovely, isn't she? I knew she'd be right up our street, not only because of the name of her business, which is Living Over the Influence. And just knew that we'd like her vibe. And did you know as well, actually, Ben, Hayley is a coach for This Naked Mind.
Awesome. Love Annie.
Speaking of which, do you remember when I was a guest on Annie Grace's podcast?
You know, you talk about it nearly as much as you talk about the fact that you were in The Guardian last week, Sharon.
I haven't mentioned that for, I'm going to, what, 20 minutes, maybe? 25?
Literally, at the moment, you're on a Zoom with Shaz and you go, and someone goes, oh, it was cool that, you know, you were in The Guardian. And she puts her arm out. It's always within arm's reach, isn't it? And she brings it on to show on the Zoom screen on whatever meeting we're in. Oh, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've got it right here.
It's a shame, isn't it, for Sharon? It's a shame that I get so giddy over these things.
It's brilliant.
It just shows you that these conversations are happening, and we're part of it, you know, Over the Influence, our community members, our guests, our listeners, all of it. It's all just been part of that change. Yeah, really, really excited about it. Can't wait to get back to our chat with Hayley. She's just got so much to share.
She's fabulous. I mean, we'll get back to Hayley very soon. But before we do that, Shaz, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Hang on. Why? You've put me right on the spot.
I'll tell you why in a sec. But first of all, do you spend more time than you'd like, Shaz, thinking about what you should and shouldn't do?
Oh, in what way? What sort of...
Let me ask you another question.
Go on.
Did you know, Sharon, that all of us have an internal guidance system of thoughts, feeling, and deep energetic wisdom that always have an answer?
Well, in a nutshell, no.
Interested, Sharon, in uncovering your unique human design to gain a deeper understanding of how to respond to your world in a way that flows with opportunity?
Obs, who wouldn't be? Yes.
Right. I don't fully understand all of this either at the moment, but I'm hoping that I will do by the end of February. This is our last episode in dry January. And also, it's been an exciting month for us because we've launched our first ever Over the Influence course. So all month, people have been, you know, members and listeners. You don't have to be a member to join this. Annika Rees, the manifestation expert, has been running a course about how to manifest your dream life. And it's gone flipping brilliantly.
It's so
good. People
have
absolutely loved it. Yeah. And it's every Tuesday, 7 p.m. GMT. So UK time, every Tuesday. We're doing another one because it's gone so well, and we're doing it with the fabulous Jamie Cole. Now, if that name rings a bell, it's because we had Jamie on the podcast back in October. The episode is called Jamie Cole, The Honest Quitter. And she went down an absolute storm. We got so much feedback from that episode. Long story short, Jamie is doing a course for us every Tuesday in February. So this starts on Tuesday, the 7th of February. And it's called Discovering Your Human Design.
Oh, is 4 weeks enough for mine? Do we need longer?
I won't give you a breakdown of every week, but it looks really good because there's some things you need before you get to this course, right? So here it is.
Go on.
So to participate, our course attendees will need to know a few pieces of information. Their birth date, which hopefully most of us know, their birth location, and their birth time as accurately as they can get it. So I know that I was born on the 26th of June, 1988, in Sutton Coldfield. I think it was about 8 o'clock in the morning. I need to ask my mum.
Oh, so 19th of November, 1973, in Lytham Hospital, which no longer exists, to a very young 17-year-old, Cecilia Gorman, at the time. I need to ask my mother what the time was. I don't know. Mum, drop us a message because I know she listens.
I asked Jamie because she said, you know, I was like, why do we need to know the time we were born? And the idea of this is that, but she said, look, by the end of our time together, Ben, we'll all have gained a deeper understanding of our human design, our own unique human design, which is about stepping into a feeling of alignment and learning the skill of self-evaluation that leads to empowered progress in any area of your life. I don't understand it all yet. Like, I'm going to be honest. Cards on the table. I don't get all of this yet, but I'm interested to find out more.
I'm intrigued. I am intrigued. So if somebody's listening now then and they want to sign up and they're not a community member, can they do that?
Yes. If you're not a community member, email us otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. That is otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. I say email us. It's Shaz who looks after
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, so email Shaz. And she'll point you in the right direction because we are opening this up to our members first. So we'll let you know. If you email us basically and say, I'm interested in learning about my own unique human design, Sharon, then we'll let you know when you can book on. But we're opening it up to our members first because that's just one of the things we do. It's one of the benefits of being an OTI community member. And look, if you are interested in this, don't email Shaz. This is the first thing you do. Go back and have a listen to that episode with Jamie. She is fabulous. October last year it was. So go back and have a listen to the episode with Jamie Cole. See what you think of her. And if you go, you know what? I like her. Then you can join her on Zoom every Tuesday evening, GMT, in February. And you can learn about your own human design and how you can apply that to move your life forward in whatever area you want to move it forward in.
Ben, it's a bloody good job I didn't use the word brief for this interlude, isn't it?
No, it's, yeah.
That's half an hour later. We'll get back to the episode with Hayley.
Sorry, Hayley.
SOS, OTIHQ@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Okay, let's now get back to the episode with Hayley.
I know that we've only just met each other, Hayley, but I feel like we're definitely on the same wavelength, which is why I hope you don't mind us going so deep soon.
Oh, no, I'm here for that.
But I think, you know, this is the last episode for us in dry January. We know that a lot of people have found this podcast in dry January. And I think, you know, Shaz said at the beginning, keep going. We're not pressuring anybody. It might be a good idea. You know, if you've done dry January, why not carry on for a bit longer? But our thing is 100 days. We always talk about, you know, get to 100 days. If you can do triple figures, consistently the same thing every day for 100 days, that confidence starts to build. What we found, and I don't know if you found this with your clients, is that let's say that someone started on January the 1st and they've decided to keep going. February's a short month, 28 days. By the end of February, going into March, you've probably felt a load of benefits so far. You've slept better. You've got a bit more energy. You know, all these kind of almost immediate things that removing booze gives you. Around 60 days seems to be a bit of a crunch point for people, which is why we talk about the 100 and really push forward to that 100 days. And I think it's because, like you say, you've got to do the work. It can be horribly confronting, though, isn't it? When you've removed alcohol, that thing that you use to escape situations from, that thing that you use to kind of to stop thinking about the things that you don't want to think about, when that's not there anymore, yes, you find out all these wonderful things, but it feels like that's the kind of time period where you start kind of, where that feeling of shame can start to creep back in. I don't know if that's something that you've got experience with.
That actually blew my mind that you said around the 60 days, because I've said that. I've mentored in groups for the alcohol experiment for 2.5 years now, and people will experience, you know, the highs and lows. It's a roller coaster. But I said, for me personally, around the 60 days, it was like, I'm not a big pink cloud person. I feel euphoric and full of gratitude every single day. I'm always on this cloud, and that's just the vibration that I'm at. But around 60 days, it was like someone pulled that helium balloon and tried to just bring me down. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to drink. But all of a sudden, I just felt gray and this massive weight on me. And I couldn't figure out why and where it came from. And I know that those are the kinds of feelings and experiences that can drive you right back to where you were, because you do not want to sit with that. And sitting in the discomfort, like, I know that there's so many sayings within sobriety, healing through feeling. At first I was like, oh yeah, okay. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, healing through feeling, it's real. Like, you have to sit with those feelings, push through them, and you will be so grateful that you did. And whatever it is that works for you. For me, if I ever am feeling like that low, I get outside. I put my running shoes on and go outside, and that grounds me. Whether it's meditation, journaling, yoga, any different version of what works for you, you have to find that outlet. And giving yourself the opportunity to live free from alcohol gives you the time to figure out what it is that will make you feel better naturally. And it's so worth exploring.
It is. It's absolutely worth it. But also, it's really flipping difficult, I think, in early sobriety. I know we, you know, wang on, week in, week out, just keep going. It's so worth it. If somebody listens to this now thinking, shut up, just shut up. Yeah, you keep saying it's worth it, but I am really bloody struggling. And we know it's worth it because we've pushed through and we've got through to the other side. But if somebody's listening now, Hayley, and they are at that dip, that 60, 70 days where you're thinking, crikey, is this it? And they don't want to do any yoga, and they aren't interested in a sunrise hike. What do you do? What do you do at that point when you're desperate to get to the other side of those low feelings and you want to experience sobriety?
Oh my gosh, that is a really good one, loaded.
Put you right on the spot.
I know, right? It's like, give them something good. Honestly, I described my feeling as, I was like, if anyone comes up to me, I'm kicking them in the shin. I was just a little rage monster. I was like, nobody talk to me. Nobody. And that's the thing. If someone had been like, do it, it's great, I would have been like, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I think it's really important to focus on the emotional outcome or the emotional goal and think ahead to how good you want to feel and believe that it's possible. Belief for me was key. If I believe I can't do it, or if I believe this is shit, then it's shit. And the opposite doesn't always have to be where you get to, but believe that it's possible that one day you're going to move through it and keep shifting towards that end goal. Because all of these people who are saying it's amazing, they are saying it for a reason. But I think it is important to focus on, some days you're going to want to kick people in the shin, and some days you're going to want to tell them to shut the hell up. And that's normal. And that's okay. But you have to believe that it's going to get better, exactly as they're saying. And you have to believe that you're capable of doing it, because you 100% are.
I love that. And that's something Ben brings up a lot within our community. So we've got people that are in the really early stages of sobriety, yeah. First few days, you know, heading into double figures. We've got people in the community that have been at this for 6, 7, 8 years, but still lacking that connection, you know, where you still sometimes feel like a social leper because you're not getting drunk. And so we've got all ranges of people on their alcohol-free journey. But what Ben says a lot, and this is probably on his quote board, if you can see it, you can be it. And it's right. If you can keep looking ahead to the people that are in the higher numbers, that have got a few months, you know, we're not lying when we say it's worth it. Keep going. You can do it.
Yeah.
Can I just double check, guys? So what we're basically saying is that we all agree, if you're listening to this and you started on the 1st of January, we all agree that, you know, it's not all, as one of our community members says quite regularly, it's not all unicorns, farts and glitter, is it, Ben? He's a Mancunian.
All right, Danny.
Sobriety is not all unicorns, farts and glitter. Like any journey, you know, no journey is linear. There are good days, there are bad days. But what we're saying is if someone started and they found our podcast and they decided, yep, I'm going to do dry January, I've got that little voice in my head, my intuition, my gut's telling me that I should probably carry this on. We're saying that there could be tricky times ahead, but that it's a well-trodden path. People have been there, that you should keep going until the 10th of April. Because if you started dry January on the 1st of January, 2023, the 10th of April is 100 days. I think it's that anyway. I've just done the quick maths while I've been on the call.
Working out your maths with your highlighter.
Yeah, 31 plus 28 plus 31, 10th of April. Yeah. But the good news is, if that is you, you're nearly a third of the way through to 100 days. Do you know what I mean? If you're listening to this on the day of release, you're nearly a third of the way through. Keep on going. Keep on trucking. Because all these fabulous things do happen. It's not easy. Not every day is fabulous and pink clouds and everything else. But it's worth it, isn't it, Hayley?
Oh, it totally is. And if the rest seems too big to get to April 10th, just do what you just did and do another 30. And then that'll probably give you the confidence to do a little bit more.
And it builds and it builds and it builds. And one thing that I am really passionate about is that patience is key. Ugh. So I started doing this, Hayley, when I was 44. I'm 49 now. 44, when did I start drinking? You know, teenagers. So you're talking the best part of 25, 30 years of boozing. Not every day for 25 and 30 years, but towards mid to late 30s, into my 40s, drinking every day. You cannot undo that length of time drinking overnight and expect everything to be tally-ho within 1 week. It doesn't happen. I was like, right, okay, not had wine for 7 days. Well, I've not dropped 3 stone and I'm still quite miserable and my face is bloated and all the rest of it. Where are these benefits then? Where are these benefits? But you stick with it and patience is key and you keep putting the work in and showing up and little bit by little bit, that's when the changes start to happen. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes and it's, you can't detox an entire decade overnight. Be patient with yourself.
I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, patience is hard because I want it and I want it now, but it's a process and it's undoing so many unconscious habits that we've wired over years of time and an addictive substance is into the mix. So yeah, it's hard to trust the process. It is hard to be patient, but again, totally worth it.
Hayley, can I ask you another deep question? And I know that before we started recording, I gave you the kind of producer spiel of this is a conversation, not an interview. And yeah, you know, sing about the joys of sobriety. We're really positive and upbeat and da 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 da. But I've got another deep question for you.
Oh, boy.
But I think, you know, I get the feeling that you like talking about deep stuff. They're not self-help books. They're mindset books. Hayley, I like that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the word vibrations a couple of times. So I know that you're into this kind of deep thinking stuff. I want to ask about rock bottoms, because one of the things that I always like to say on the podcast, in the community, is that you don't have to have a rock bottom to decide to rethink your drinking. One of the very first Zoom calls we ever did with Over the Influence was with someone who said, I didn't have a rock bottom, but I could see it from where I was standing. And I thought that was a really interesting quote, because that's actually how I feel about my drinking. In my 20s, I drank because it was fun. In my 30s, I started drinking more to try and relieve stress and try and escape. And I don't know, if Over the Influence hadn't come into my life when it did, I don't know what would have happened with my drinking, but it was only going one way. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
You're happy to say that you did have a rock bottom. Tell me to piss off if you don't want to answer this, by the way. If this is too intrusive, I'm very happy for you to tell me to do one. But do you think you need to have a rock bottom? Are you one of these people who thinks you need to have a rock bottom to really, truly change that relationship with alcohol?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. 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 What did I post the other day? I want to be the lighthouse that keeps you from running into the same rocky shoreline, because you 1000% don't need to hit it. You can see alcohol for what it is prior to having to reach that rock bottom. And there's even the Dickens exercise, like envisioning your life. I mean, there's a whole detailed version of it, but envisioning your life 1 year, 3 year, 5 years from now, should this habit continue? Alcohol and the dependence is progressive, right? It typically isn't going to get better. It's going to get worse. I had that intuition in my friggin' stomach. I trust my intuition insanely now, but I knew your train's going to come off the track. This is getting worse. This is going to be a problem. And I shoved it down. I was like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then it wasn't. I didn't listen to my intuition. I don't think you need a reason. I don't think you need a rock bottom. I think making the decision that feels right for you is the decision you should be making. Does it help some people perhaps to have that turning point? Sure. But do you need to hit it? I don't believe so.
There's a fabulous quote from Desmond Tutu, who died a couple of years ago now. And kind of, you know, when someone passes away, lots of their inspirational quotes get kind of shared around. And I spotted this one and I loved it. And it was, we need to stop pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. And I think that's just so powerful. If we can, if there's one message from this podcast episode today, for me personally, it would be that, listen to your intuition, because it's our gut knows before our head sometimes, doesn't it?
100%. I actually read a post in one of the groups, and a man who had struggled had mentioned, like, he's not there to preach and he's not there to tell people what to do. And I'm very much like that. I've experienced my experience. My choice not to drink is a reflection of my relationship with alcohol. I'm not there to swat it out of your hand. But being on both sides of it, it does give a different level of awareness and seeing those red flags for other people, where I want to be the voice. And I love being a part of this show because you guys are a massive voice. But being able to say that you don't need to reach those rock bottoms. And if you are, feeling those warning signs, it's okay. And you're okay, and there's nothing wrong with you if you want to choose to try a different pathway or journey into sober curiosity.
You know, I feel a rant building, but only because I just love what you're saying, Hayley, about, obviously you don't need a rock bottom. But, you know, Ben mentions this a lot. We've spoken to people on the podcast that have had a rock bottom, and thank God that they've been here to tell the story, to inspire others. We've had people who only drank at weekends. I know somebody that only had a glass of wine a night with dinner. She removed it. It still changed her life. Everything still improved. Well, I've completely lost my thread, Benny. I had something really prophetic to say and my brain's gone. Hayley, this is a menopause thing, and this is happening a lot now because I'm 40 flipping nine.
Great that you're talking about it, Shaz. We've had so many comments from people saying, thank God that Sharon is talking about this so openly, by the way. So we need to do more of it.
We honestly, it does my tree in. I can be talking and then my brain just goes, no, we're just going to stop. But actually, on a little diversion here, one great thing about sobriety in midlife, as the Guardian likes to call it. Have I mentioned that? Guardian article today.
Of course, star of the Guardian.
Shoehorn that in there. sobriety in midlife when you're not on the wine, when you're not getting drunk every single day, you can identify your HRT needs and your menopausal symptoms, which is really, really good. What was I going to say, Ben? What the hell was my brain going to say?
I don't know, but I'm sure it was absolutely fantastic.
I was going to react to something amazing.
Something about not needing to hit a rock bottom.
It's about changing your relationship with alcohol. What the?
A lady that had one glass of wine a night and it still changed her life.
Yeah. It's just about normalizing sobriety. You're not a dick if you want to stop drinking. It's okay to do that. And you've got to, in many ways, and it's hard, you know, put a couple of fingers up to some people that might have something to say. You've got to do this for you. Yeah, and I think that's what it was, but I don't know. Ask me again next week when my brain returns. This has been a fabulous chat, Hayley.
Yes.
Thank you so, so much. Even the brilliant name aside, Living Over the Influence, I knew you'd be right up our street. Without a doubt, we've really enjoyed this conversation. Our community members have really enjoyed the conversation. Hayley, thank you so much. I just want to mention to you a comment that's been put in the chat box by Laura. It's talking about that dip, you know, that we mentioned 60-70 days in. Laura says, I love to hear this and can completely resonate to everything that's being said. At the beginning of my journey, people were being so positive that I doubted myself and thought that I was doing sobriety wrong. You're not. You're absolutely not. Because I was feeling so rubbish. Thankfully, I stuck in, got myself through it, and as a result, feeling much, much better. It's definitely helpful to make people aware of this part of the process. So it is, it's really important that, isn't it, Hayley?
It's so important. And I've seen community members post about that before, and they're like, the way that people make it sound, it's all sunshine and rainbows. And I'm like, well, no, because life is still lifey. But then we need to put that conversation out there. The days are still going to, there may still be some tough days, but our ability to respond and push through wildly changes.
A bad hour doesn't mean a bad morning. A bad morning doesn't mean a bad day. A bad day doesn't mean a bad week. That's what one of our community members, Danny, who said that on a Zoom call. And I think, you know, I think it's important to say, yeah, it isn't all unicorns, farts and glitter. But if you know that, then I think you can kind of prepare for it as well. Like, know that it's not something that's wrong with you because you feel like shit around day 60, day 70, whenever it might hit. You know, it's not something that you're doing wrong. It is just part of the process. But it is a process, isn't it, Hayley? And this is, you know, people who are now happily, confidently alcohol-free, enjoying sobriety, not, you know, white-knuckling it and holding on and, you know, gritting their teeth and getting through it, but people who are genuinely loving sobriety, like you said, right at the beginning of this episode. It does happen, doesn't it? And it is part of the process. And like you said, again, at the beginning, trust the process. Like, you've just got to stick with it, haven't you? And those good times do come. And I think you're a fabulous example of that, Hayley, because I don't think you stopped smiling. Even when I asked, like, deep, dark questions, you've smiled this whole conversation.
I know, it brings me a lot of joy. And sometimes when I'm talking about, like, my mom or different things, I'm like, stop smiling because this seems like weird timing. But I'm like, I have such peace and clarity with everything that, yeah, I vibrate at a very joyful, grateful level. So I know sometimes I'm like, ew, is that inappropriate? But you experience different joy. And I think one of the things that keeps people from, you know, going into sober curiosity is their fear of not being able to experience things or their fear of missing out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's actually the opposite. You get to experience everything at 100% clarity, and that is a gift.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing so honestly and, as Ben said, with such a smile on your face. Thank you so much. If anybody wants further information about what you do in Canada, about Living Over the Influence, great name, don't know if we've mentioned that, where can they find you, website, socials, that sort of thing?
Yes. So pretty much all the same. My website is livingovertheinfluence.com. I was looking at Over the Influence in your window and I almost pitched you. So, living over the...
Yeah, so I think ahead. The Guardian are doing that for us. Hey, it's fine. Leave it to the Guardian.
Perfect. Yeah, you guys have your exposure. Oh my gosh. Yes. So livingovertheinfluence.com. Same thing with Instagram, Living Over the Influence. And if you want to contact me, livingovertheinfluence@gmail.com also works, but that's all on my website as well.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. Thank you for your time. Hayley, it's been a pleasure.
It's been such a pleasure. I was so excited and I'm still really excited and nervous and I'm so grateful. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. Again, I sound like a stuck record. Really, really enjoyed that. The lovely, lovely Hayley Scherders. And if you want more information about what she does, if you look up Living Over the Influence, her website and her socials as well, it's all there. And as we mentioned in the little middle bit, she is a This Naked Mind coach, which is absolutely fantastic. We have got another guest lined up for you next week. And actually, Ben, you don't know this, I've got a cracking guest coming your way and I've not even told you about it yet. And I'm not going to either. So there we go. Literally okay, no cool. information.
No, I trust you. Sorry, I'm slightly distracted because I am just... Jamie, I didn't realise you'd sent a link. I'm talking about Jamie Cole's Discovering Your Human Design course that we're running in February. She sent a link to a website that she wants everyone to fill in, like to go, I'm about to view my human design chart. So I've entered my birthday, time, location.
Oh,
okay. And it's telling me I am a manifester. I am a fire starter. People who are here to get something started for other people to join in on.
Get
no
out.
No way.
Get out no of town.
Way. That is bonkers.
What's the website? Can you send me the link and I quickly do mine?
Myhumandesign.com.
Right, wait.
My strongest sense is smell.
Your
your environment, kitchens, places that are creative hubs where people can commune, whether that's literally a kitchen, an art studio, or whatever invokes that creativity in you. Right. Okay. There's something in this, you know.
Yeah. I'm excited. Hang on. 1973, November day, 19. What time was I born? I'm just going to go for midnight because I don't know the exact time. 0 minutes. And I was born in Leafy Lytham in Lancashire. View your chart.
This is right. Everyone should do this. This is really interesting. Myhumandesign.com. I don't understand all this yet, but this is exactly what Jamie's going to help us with. Yeah, go on.
My strongest sense is feeling. I'm all about the feels. Yeah,
I am.
I cry at anything. The authority, the way I make my decisions is emotional. Solar
That's us.
Plexus.
And me too.
We're the same.
What type are you? What type are you?
I'm a manifesting generator.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not self theme. So in brackets here, it says the telltale feeling that happens when you are not living your design. For me, it's frustration.
Mine is anger. Right. This is now, I am not one of these people who just, I mean, I do read star signs.
Oh my God, I just read something else.
Go on.
I've just interrupted you as well, which is very rude.
That's fine. Is that what it says that you are? You're an interrupter.
It says you're a rude cow. environment, Ben.
Yeah.
My environment.
So mine's the kitchen.
Oh, my God. It's not the kitchen. It's not the boiler room. Oh, my God. It's mountains.
No.
What am I all about?
Yeah,
it's mountains.
Outside.
And it says places where you can get perspective, wherever you feel like is conducive for you to get clarity and information. Oh, my God. It's the mountains.
So you've now got a list of things to do, dear listener. The first one is listen to Jamie Cole's episode. Jamie Cole, The Honest Quitter. We released it in October last year. Then go to myhumandesign.com and find out all about yourself based on just the time and location you were born, which is nuts. But there's something in this.
Feelings.
We both read this and we relate to it. And then If you're a community member, just drop us a message in the community. If you are not a community member, then email Shaz, OTIHQ, at overtheinfluence.co.uk. Go, you know what? I read that human design chart. My mind's a bit blown as well. I want to find out more about what this means and what it can do for my life. Then we can tell you how you can sign up for the course in Feb. It's awesome. And also, you don't have to, if you can't make the time, don't worry, because we'll upload the video afterwards so that you can watch it back at a time that's convenient for you.
I'm excited. Really, really excited. We could talk about this for hours. But we better wrap it up because we've been talking for ages. Thank you for listening. As always, it's much appreciated. If you want more information about the community, have a look online, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if you want any more info about this course, in particular with Jamie Cole, which just sounds ace. It sounds really good.
It sounds crackers, but I'm open-minded and I can't wait to find out more.
Isn't that sobriety in a nutshell? Flipping bonkers. It really is. Drop me an email, OTIHQ at overtheinfluence.co.uk. I'll get round to it once I'm off the mountains, my most favourite place. I'm well excited by that. Bye.